Good afternoon, everyone. How's it going? All right. It's great to see you. I want to congratulate all of you who got here a little early because I'm pretty sure soon they're going to be lining up against the walls. And when I'm done here, I'm going to go outside and start scalping tickets. So I think I can get some good money for that. You know, I'm Peter. By the way, I'm Peter Giannetti with the House Realtors Association, and I'm. It's a privilege to be able to put on this education program. For the Inspire Home Show and all of you, but it's a greater privilege to get a chance to introduce our next speaker. And I'm trying to think of words that haven't already been said, and those are all positive words about Lee Eisman. But I remembered something, and this is really odd. And you're going to think it's odd. It was the summer of last year. My wife and I were at a concert on Long Island, New York. And the bands playing, it was like a vintage night. The bands playing were the band Chicago and Earth, Wind & Fire. And, I've been around a little bit, and so it was really kind of nice to see these two bands together. And at some point, Chicago played its most famous ballad, the wedding song of all wedding songs. I'll let someone yell it out. What's it called? Come on. Color My World. See, I said it. She just said it's her wedding song right there. And out of the blue, I said to my wife, Lee Eisman. And she looked at me and said, Lee Eisman, who's that? And I explained to her, we had the band Chicago playing Color My World, and I put the two together, and I realized that Lee Eisman and Pantone have been coloring our world in Chicago for 25 plus years. And what a world it is right now. We are all dealing with unusual circumstances, uncertainties. How do we make the next leap in business at a very challenging time? And you know the one constant through all of that? Color. Color is both steady and ever-changing. And thanks to Lee, who is the foremost authority on color direction in our business and others, we get a chance each year to see those changes in direction. We get a chance to hear where this industry is headed, what the influences are, and how we can add a little bit more color to our world. So with that, I'd like to invite Lee Eisman to the stage. Lee.
As I look around, I'm seeing some familiar faces. I never say old faces, I always say familiar faces, right? And as Peter said, I'm here to offer you the forecast for the future. I think that there are some who have seen me before and some who are new. And of course, being here at the Inspired Home Show for me is very special. Because I do come back every year, and inspirational is what this show really is. Now, each of us might have a different view of what inspiration is, what it means, but being a writer and kind of a word wonk, I decided to look it up and look at the actual definition. And interestingly, all these things refer to inspiration. A call to action, motivation, stimulate, energize, fire with enthusiasm, galvanize. And I thought about that, and I thought, this is really the reason why we come here, why we want to find out more about color and design, exactly for all the reasons that we see here. That's exactly what we want to do to get across to our clients and to our customers, and to move them to purchase our goods and services. Now, that might sound, a little bit serious based on what we're talking about color, but at the same time, we know that color does have all of these energizing effects, and each of us has personal stories to tell about it as well. But here at the Inspirational Home Show, What we look at is the dictionary inspiration, literally that means, whoops, what's happening as far as the slides are concerned. Okay, on my monitor, I'm just seeing the one slide, so I'm gonna have to glance back, unless the guys up there can change my monitor so I see the images on the screen. Before we look to, and let me go back, because that's an important point to make. Being prompted with the urge to do or feel something, especially creative and timely. Now, creativity is certainly important in today's world of design, and certainly ingenuity. But equally important is the word timely, and I never really attached that to creativity, so that was an interesting thought. And timely is what trends are all about. That's what we need to learn. We need to delve into the consumer mindset to find out what is timely to them, what is going to happen to the future, and mostly so that we create the goods that are going to satisfy that consumer mindset. Now, before we look to the forecast that you're going to be seeing, and by the way, I'm going to call your attention, if you haven't already seen it, the great Pantone booth that is with all those marvelous displays. And I want to thank John DeFrancesco, who's sitting out in the audience, who is responsible, he and his crew, for those great displays. I hope that after my talk, you're all going to take a trip up there and take a look at it, because it's going to give you an even further look into the trends, but seeing it in a very large format. And there are seven palettes. Now, there are seven palettes because there are different lifestyles, different play styles, and one palette does not do it all. And you know, occasionally I'll read something, you know, online about this is the hot look, and I always look at that with a little bit of a skepticism, because I feel like the hot look isn't hot for everyone. And that's why we have to offer seven different palettes of color. And I'm going to be getting back into those palettes, but the first thing that we're going to talk about, if we're talking about something which is timely, is to look at past time. Because we find that history does inform us, and as you will see, often repeats itself. The past has shown how important it is to tap into the consumer mindset. Now, when we look at this industry, the home furnishings and housewares industries, we can certainly see how the times, the trends, the lifestyles played into color and design choices in every decade, particularly in the last 80 years. Now, I'm going to take you down memory lane, and it is a bit of a history lesson, but my whole point here today is, and I'm going to be quoting Vanessa Friedman of the New York, the design director of the New York Times, who says, and I think there's a point to be made here, when people are uncertain about the future, they invariably will look to the past. And she's the design director of the New York Times and a very talented lady. So, if we look back to consumer mindset in the past, what we are going to see is that the concept of home is really deeply rooted in our psyches. What we aspire to, what we dream and we hope for. And in the 40s and 50s, the movies, the magazines, the decorating books, and the TV sitcoms were among the strongest influences in styling a home. Interestingly, most shows were seen in what was called black and white, but were actually neutral, as color TV was available, but not too affordable. Now, of course, we know who these people are. And when I looked at the images, I thought, well, here's what people looked at. They looked at the shower curtains. They looked at the towels. They looked at whatever was featured on the TV sitcoms, often predicted what was going to be sold. And as we move into the future in the 60s, the top shows, here we see Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore, in a room, a situation that we could really look at today and say, that's pretty modern looking. So again, if we look to the past and we see some of the influences coming from the past, we find that they are being repeated. But the repetition is a little bit different. It's a little bit more eclectic, where we're mixing patterns and we're mixing times from the past. We're mixing periods. And as I go forward, we're going to see even more of that. Now, I think something else that was very interesting, we think that these product placement things that we see are new, but actually it started back with the Dick Van Dyke Show. Auxiliary products attracted very large audiences, and books came out and all kinds of things that helped to publicize where color direction was going. Here we see Andy Griffith, another blast from the past. And when we look at these shows, especially as color TV became more available and affordable, color really started to make a place in the marketplace, in that people were looking at what they saw and were imitating or copying it. The free-thinking psychedelic 60s brought bright pops of pop art and flower power. Totally rad. And the Beatles were living in a yellow submarine, as we all know. But something interesting happened in the late 60s. Influenced by Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, the first real environmental issues came to light, and this was serious. If we read what Rachel Carson said, which really did make a huge, started to make a huge change, as crude a weapon as the caveman's club, the chemical barrage has been hurled against the fabric of life. Insecticides and fertilizers are capable of striking back in unexpected ways. She was really ahead of her time, wasn't she? So the earth colors came into being. People were very concerned about what was happening. Not everyone, but there was a core of people that started to feel about what was happening to our earth in the 70s. And so a directional trend that extended into the 70s, the one part of this image that I like the most is the polyester shirts on the guys. Right? And the fitted pants. I mean, you could put your polyester suit in a closet and you wouldn't need a hanger. It would stand up by itself. Falling right into that earthy theme, the dreaded A word, avocado, became the hot color, especially in the kitchen and large appliances. Now, what I have to say to different demographics and to my clients all the time, depending on your age group, avocado was a bad word in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, but it's no longer a bad word. For younger generations, avocado is pretty cool. I mean, avocado toast for breakfast, right? It's a beautiful color to them, and they have happy memories of going into granny's house with that shag carpeting that was avocado. So we have to be careful in prejudging depending on what our personal relationship is with the color. Of course, it was all around us, the dishes, the sinks, and the accessories, the canisters. Earth tones were further helped along by the great popularity of a show called The Brady Bunch, which some of you might recall. And what I like to point out to you is the house on the right-hand side is actually the Brady Bunch house. It's in the San Fernando Valley in L.A., and here is a picture of the Brady House. One of the most interesting things about this period was it was the first time that this whole idea of a blended family living together under a roof. I mean, that was the kind of thing that was never shown on television before. HGTV bought the house because of its iconic nature, refurbished it to its original style and colors, and actually recently sold it for $3.2 million, completely furnished exactly as it was with copies of the furnishings that were in the original Brady House. As a reaction to the market being just that one warm color palette, that was the last time we really saw one pervasive color palette, and that was into the 70s. The 80s started with a somewhat cooler feel of teal, gray, and mauve with a throwback to Art Deco styling of the 30s. So even at that period, there was a throwback to the 30s. Again, we keep going back in time and bringing it forward and modernizing it somewhat. Now look at the picture that you see here of the teal-colored sofa. We could use that today in a home and it would look very au courant, wouldn't it? So again, going back, perhaps in the way that we decorate this, we might put a plexiglass table in front of it instead of the usual table that we might have seen. But we need to re-educate ourselves about what we have seen before. Floral accents came from Welsh-born Laura Ashley, who helped to romanticize the look of that time period. And then what happened in the 80s? We had a president in the White House who was a rancher, slash former movie star. He brought a very Western vibe into the White House. And as a matter of fact, he was the first president historically to ever wear brown in the White House. That was just not done. Brown suits were not done for daytime. And cowboy boots, for heaven's sake. So there was a real change in how people felt about that whole Westernized influence. And here we see the pictures on the wall. The Western art became very popular in the 80s, as did the country look, remember the ranch, and the lodge look, if you recall the term lodge look. They really started to gain ground in the home. Georgia O'Keeffe's death in the 80s, at the age of 86, brought renewed interest in her work, especially of the Southwest, where she had lived most of her life. Now, I point this out to you because there is also recently a resurgence of Georgia O'Keeffe's life and the colors that she used in her home. Again, look at this picture taken at the time in the 80s, and it is a home we could live in today, and it would feel more modern. But originally, her colorful work invigorated the art world. At the same time, the Sun Belt, as it was called, beckoned those who wanted to escape the colder climates. And here's an example of some of the O'Keeffe colors and in the home itself. The Sun Belt traveled across the country to Florida, where the refurbishment of Miami architecture added new vitality to their color story. And if you go to Miami today, you will see the same color story that's there. Obviously a big influence, especially as a hit TV show, Miami Vice, illustrated that not only can tough and handsomely virile detectives wear pink, but they can live with it as well. And I thought these were great examples of living with pink. That all came from Miami Vice. At the beginning of the 90s, the music industry took a different and darker view. Now, there was a bit of a blip in the economy, and that does have an effect on color and design trends as well. But with the music industry, it was really serious and very grungy, as they called it, the grunge movement. And as we move forward, we found that fashion and interiors went in that direction, and a sort of gothic feeling was thrown into the mix. Playing to viewers' demands, TV entertainment offered a far more optimistic view with family and friends shows featuring home interiors. And here we see all the shows, and we know that Friends is as popular today as it was then. It's being streamed, and the same colors that you're seeing in those shows are having an influence on today's consumers as they view them. I love the designing women as well. That was a very much watched show, popular show as well. In addition to that, as we look at other shows that came into being, and TV was really a huge influence, the Frasier interior, and some of you may remember that lovely, I won't claim Lazy Boy, I don't know that they'd want to claim it, but where the furnishings became central to the story. And as we move forward, we saw Robin Leach, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, the fascination with people who live that lifestyle, and conspicuous consumption, as it was called, captured the public eye. Along with that, we saw opulent celebrity lifestyles like Cher in her homes, and to the opposite extreme, Martha Stewart living. So there were diverse styles and color ranges that were coming into play at that period of time. And that has continued to present day and is continuing into the future. I don't think we're ever going to see the return of that one pervasive color family or color temperature over a decade of time. There's simply too much out there to be looked at. Now, something else started to happen in the 90s, and that was that the HGTV became very big, and the how-to decorating shows were widely watched by eager-to-learn consumers. They wanted to learn more. In addition to that, I think probably one of the biggest changes was that decade was brought about by the increased access, as I said, to the internet and what we call the information superhighway. The colorful iMac that we see here, sorry, no beige, personified that resource and accessibility. And as a matter of fact, it had a huge effect. There were many, many copycats of the eye candy, as they called it, of those colors in that particular time. What I'm talking about, too, may seem very Western-centric here in the United States, but this really started to have a worldwide effect as well, as we can see here. And we started to see brands that were recognized only not only here in this country, but in other countries as well. Here's the Gap with a product, a body fragrance. And, of course, we saw IKEA that spread here as well. So consumers were beginning to see this international mix of cultures, sometimes utilizing a single brand. Into the 2000s, the internet rendered even more shopping opportunities, and markets as social networking proliferated. And we're certainly still seeing the continuation of that. Magazines, again, consumers wanting more knowledge. I managed to sneak one of my books into the center, if you notice, Colors for Your Every Mood. I wonder how that happened. A bold-faced plug. And I'm going to mention yet another wonderful periodical that is still being done, and I'm going to encourage you to take a look at this at the Pantone booth. Viewpoint Color Magazine and Pantone View Color Planner that I go to twice a year to Europe to work with David Shaw on an absolutely gorgeous rendition of what is happening in the future that expands a little further out than our Pantone View home. But I wanted to call your attention to it because it's really an amazing publication. The last 25 years have seen an ever-expanding interest and sources of inspiration in design, styling, and color. The consumer is looking, continuing to look for more information and clarity. Clarity is an important word. Why are they purchasing what they're purchasing, and why are they putting it into their homes? And they want more information about what they're buying. And that is a driving force to consumers today. Now, to give that clarity, design, and inspiration for future trends is exactly what we research and develop for the Pantone View Home Forecast, where you're eventually going to see the seven palettes that come from that. The title for 2026 is Welcome Home. These are two words, when used together, express the most deep-seated and intrinsic human needs. It's a theme that's highly relatable and well understood, as a welcoming home provides the roof over our heads. Whether it be a condo in the city, an expansive loft that has reminders of its industrial origins, the relaxed elegance of a country cottage, with a revisit to not so shabby chic. And here we see a rustic cabin done in a very modern way, very modernized, of repurposed wood that speaks to a sustainable lifestyle. Sustainability is a word that we hear again and again. It is a major factor in the world of architecture, and we felt it very, very important, and it is very much included in our forecast as well. Now, having seen the Academy Awards last night, we know that that Adrian Brody won for the male actor, and the title of the picture is The Brutalist. It's a word that's not very well understood unless you know architecture, and of course that's what the movie is about, and his personal journey through that. But just as the name implies, the word brutal, very straightforward, very straight arrow, nothing fancy about this. This style was started in the 50s and 60s. And just as the name implies, right now, they are being made with eco-friendly raw materials. This is the way brutalist architecture is going. It's a buzzword, and you're going to see a lot of it. And in order to understand what it is as different from the 50s and 60s is that a lot of it is being done with sustainable goods, and that is today's brutalist architecture. We are also seeing the term brutalist being used through more stylized modern lens in the image that we see here. This is a home done in the Brutalist style. And it's being translated into interior furnishings. As you see here, what we call industrial chic, recycled industrial functional repurposing. That is where Brutalist architecture is now, and much of it we are seeing in the marketplace. Now, we see it in products as well. We don't necessarily have to think of it only in terms of architecture, but when it transfers into product, we can see that this has that same kind of very simple, understated feel. And many of the things that we're seeing now are being made, not all, but the attempt is being made in using sustainable materials. Today's consumer tastes and into the future are more varied than ever before. Based on the Scandinavian design principle called hygge or hygge, depending on how you want to pronounce it, as we see here, the simplicity, and japandi, obviously from Japan, both express simplicity and a lack of clutter, most often done in neutral and natural colors or in subtle cool tones. So, from the minimal aspect of hygge and japandi to the maximal aspect of the images that we are seeing here, there is room in the marketplace for both. It is neither one or the other. We are seeing these maximal images, particularly in brighter color stories, and there is that wide divergence that I mentioned before of taste levels and of aspirations. So, whether sizing up to a bigger family home as a future plan, or sizing down to a skinny house, as they're being called now, or turning a backyard garden shed into a functioning home, the reality in today's world is the need for affordable housing. This is something we cannot ignore or neglect. However, even though we feel some trepidation about this, affordable housing, how will young people afford a house to live in? Still, there is an abode, there is an apartment, there is something else that they can utilize, and cleverly so. And so we are seeing lots of options now, this garden shed being, this is the interior of the garden shed, a very livable and affordable aspect of housing. When I was in London, I saw this, which I thought was an interesting use of available space. Typical row house in London, steel-clad attachment to the end of a row house in London, copies the lines of the original 50s house, while the rusty color of the modern addition blends with the home itself. So there is an attempt to hold on to the past. Let's bring a little bit of it into it, but let's bring new materials and a more modernized aspect into the look. Steel is the fabrication of choice for rebuilt Quonset huts. And I know this seems a little crazy and out there, but Quonset huts were first done for the Navy in the 40s. There are kits that are available and are being sold as housing and are currently available. And I wanted to show you this particular image with the interior of the Quonset hut, not the Quonset hut of the 40s. Of course, we all know about van living. We've seen a lot of that. And statistically, it was interesting to look at the number of people that are now living full-time in recreational vehicles. In 2021, there were more than 1 million people actually living in recreational vehicles. That's 21. And that number exponentially is going up every year. A lot of it because it is more affordable. Now, while some people will choose a more rustic look, while others prefer more luxury, nevertheless, there is stuff that goes into this housing. We still need to eat in that housing. We need bedding in that housing. We need linens. Perhaps not as much as we might need in a bigger house. Nevertheless, there is a need for the goods in these houses. Now, some will opt for a less conventional, not a conventional approach, like this remade caravan on wheels. And these are being sold. They are in the marketplace. But I thought this one was amazing. A permanently grounded helicopter. These are for sale through salvage. And I thought that the barbecue just worked perfectly with the helicopter. And here we see a refurbished boneyard airplane with landlocked interiors. Again, this is not craziness. People are living in these environments and using their ingenuity to get affordable housing. This I thought was astonishing. And there is a guy that lives in this reconditioned Boeing airplane, including a bathtub where the cockpit used to be. A few years ago, consumers would have thought these alternatives were far-fetched, but now with sustainability, availability, and affordability, such major issues, unconventional housing is definitely on the table, whatever the space. And here are some examples of some of the goods that we can think of in terms of sustainability and availability, going back to the past, bringing it into the future. A welcoming home always says to us, wherever we live, that we will find nourishment. In addition to nourishment, we will find replenishment. We will find rest. We will find perhaps a place to play. And I thought this was absolutely wonderful. This little house on the right-hand side of the two kids in the box is actually in production. Obviously, the kids aren't going to live in it. But I love this particular slide because it made me think of the innovation of children. You know, if you give them a box and a basket and two old rolls from maybe some Scott tissues or whatever, they'll make a game out of it, right? But actually, when you've got kids, you want to make a little bit nicer environment for them. And this goes for all ages. So I'm showing you some images that show the space in some houses that are being provided to be able to play those games. And here is yet another one. So a place to have some fun in, and a variation of lifestyle that you can do that in. Now, when I saw this image, I thought, boy, isn't this something we would all like our offices to look like, right? Talk about organization, and it is aspirational. But nevertheless, the point that I am making here, for many people today and in the foreseeable future, the home needs to provide an organized and functional workspace, not only a workspace for us to live within, but a space for us to make a living in. And so when I saw this particular slide, I had to help deliver this message. If you see the sign, ever tried, ever failed, no matter, try again, fail better. I think that's a good thing to keep in mind. Just keep trying. The next time you might feel better than the time you didn't. Now, when I saw this image, I thought, especially being here in Chicago this week, wouldn't we all love to take our shoes off and walk around in that warm sand? And my point here is that there are also those times that we need a home away from home. And at the top of the list, as far as top vacation retreats statistically, are tropical retreats. Vacations are so often memorable that it's very natural that when we return home, we want to bring some of that consciousness level with us. Where were we? If we don't bring the products home, perhaps we bring the color or the design with us. And we attempt to repeat what we have seen in a pleasurable experience. And here are some wonderful examples of that. The garment on the left, on the guy, of course, shows us that fashion is very often a trend definer. So from the tropics to the West, what we are seeing is a whole new approach to what we're calling the modern West. And you will see that becomes one of our palettes as well for the Pantone View Home Forecast. But look at what's happening with our Western look. Lots of embellishment on it. These are current images of a more modern approach, a more contemporary approach, all hand-woven and embroidered. We are calling this now cowboy and cowgirl culture, where Western classic meets modern style, and it is definitely having a huge effect on interiors. And here are more examples. The cowboy as we see. And I love this particular chair. I mean, that's ingenuity. Having a bit of that, you know, cowboy effect, but interestingly in the chair. And of course, these are very translatable into interiors, now presenting that more contemporary feel, while still honoring the traditional indigenous patterns and colors featured in these Native American tapestries. Now, these are the colors that are used in the Native American tapestries, but they were woven with a more contemporary feel. And that's what I mean about the eclectic feeling that's happening now. Take what is old, what is venerated, and give it a new slant. And we're going to see some more examples of that as we move forward. As we see the next few slides, we see the imperfection that can happen in nature, what the Japanese call wabi-sabi. Again, it's a veneration of that which is not perfect, but we make something beautiful out of it. And as we move forward with this continuing accent on sustainability, we find that these provide us with a throwback to ancient heritage, embracing those so-called imperfections found in nature. And I thought this was a beautiful example of that, very Japandi in feeling. For the more adventurous client or customer, there is a need for something, if only one piece, that makes a strong statement. Like an update of the flower-powered 60s, remember that, to the 80s Memphis look. Now, that's not Memphis, Tennessee. That came out of Memphis in Italy. And that is having a big resurgence right now. Showing you this slide, this is a current slide with 1980 on the wall and done exactly in that Memphis style. So another trip back to the past, but bringing it to the future. As I mentioned previously, the past informs the future. The 50s GM Firebird, and I'm showing you these cars because as forecasters, this is an area we always look at. What are the finishes? What are the designs that are being shown on the concept cars? Because they're always a step above as far as technology is concerned, so we pay close attention. Now, this never made it into the marketplace, neither did this Lincoln Futura. It didn't get into mass production, but the styles, the finishes, and the colors ultimately impact the design world. So do check out those concept cars because it tells us what's going to happen in the future, particularly as the price level starts to come down and it becomes more affordable. Here we see this Honda next generation electric vehicle that will actually hit the showrooms in 26. So interesting design. And this I thought was amazing. This is actually a Jaguar. Obviously, pricier than the Honda, and it is being described, they are calling it brutalist styling in the car. And here it's being shown in a color called London Blue, and here we see it in pink. Yes, they are doing the Jaguar, the brutalist Jaguar in pink, as we see here. The London Telegraph is referring to this pink as the resplendent pink machine. Which I thought was a great way of expressing it. It coats a high-tech car with a semi-tropical color that has been named, Jaguar is calling it, Miami Pink. And it is a play on the colors, the Miami Vice colors from the past, brought in very much into the future technology. Now, for those who prefer a sophisticated, hyper-modern look in their homes, we do see that, of course, we have that available to us, particularly because of the finishes and the textures that are available to us. Pearlized finishes, resins, crystalline textures that will play a large part in a futuristic surrounding. Metallic surfaces are a given. Certainly in your industry, we know that. The bottle stopper on the right is the iconic Bentley wings from the Bentley car. So again, it's still a little bit going back to the past as far as design is concerned. And the other that we see is a delustered caviar cooler that looks a little bit outer spacey. So we do have kind of that outer space feeling that we see in this palette. And the continuing interest in space travel brings a bit of comic, as we hear, as well as cosmic inspiration. It's especially prevalent in lighting, and this is something that is futuristic, but we're already seeing in lighting influences. Mid-century makeovers will continue to find a home in the future. Mid-century is a term that we know, we've all heard it, but it is not going away. But the key words are with a modern twist. That's the difference, a modern twist. A contemporary refresh is evolving in many design areas, notably here as we see in the chairs, this was done by Etro, and here we see again the eclectic look, the wine served with the cupcake. Look at the face on the cupcake. That's kind of whimsy, a little bit of whimsy doesn't hurt. Here we see a very traditional china being used with these very modernized desserts, as well as the table that is a very modern and whimsical design. Oyster plates, which have been around for a long, long time, but are being embellished with a little bit more of a metallic hue on the tabletop. Now, in bedding, what we are seeing that is very interesting, and in other areas as well, but particularly in bedding and in tableware, what we're seeing is linen, which of course we're accustomed to seeing linen in this particular, in your industry. But there is a difference that's happening. We have become accustomed to seeing linens being used very much, the more coarse linens being used in homespun settings. But now we are seeing them being mixed in an interesting way with more luxurious fabric. And that's the difference that's happening with linen and velveteen. Now, one of the reasons is to be able to use it as a placemat is that it is highly washable, and people appreciate the fact that there, even in that there is some sustainability that they're aware of. So they can use a more luxe look and still be practical with it. Here's another example of these lush velveteen fabrics being used along with the linen at the same time. This is particularly insightful as far as linen, cotton, and silk, the natural fibers being mixed with more luxe treatments. As far as sustainability is concerned, as we move forward and all the naturalness that is around us, again, it's ingenuity. It is like the wicker that's being used here, a little bit of whimsy that is included. But it's this push for bio-based natural fibers is being fueled by creativity and the need for sustainability. I thought this was kind of amazing. The backdrop of these twigs, even in the lamp, and this very luxe sofa in front of it, done in the pink. Very unusual treatment. Again, combination of looks that are rather unique and different. As far as woven treatments, a lot is happening here that is very biocentric. I thought this was particularly wonderful. This is a display for teas. And it is a reworked rattan used in the background, and then the names of the teas are placed, a great retail usage of it. Lots of reused wiring, again, sustainability, and I thought this was so clever, talk about ingenuity. Seemingly broken shards of blue willow china are actually fabric overlaid with hand crocheted blue thread. So this is hand crocheted. And of course, there's lots of wonderful examples of this kind of ingenuity. Another version, however, illustrates traditional heritage morphing into modern abstract. So we have this happening as well, both extremes happening together. Now, various art forms are always inspirational in the home, like a sumptuously rendered glissé of lotus greens, or water wash glazes of blues and greens. Bold and dynamic wall art informs much of the space and the accessories. Now, obviously, all this color isn't going to work for everyone. But the point is, if we introduce it, like in the glassware, we take our inspiration from the larger example, we may show it to a client or customer, they may say that's too much color, But still, there is color out there, and it is being introduced in the home, especially in interiors and in housewares. Stone and terracotta, of course, are always around, but we know that they can live both outdoors, again, some humor, as well as in. This particular image I wanted to share with you because it's a wonderful picture of the owl. We know that animal treatments are really classic. They simply never go away. But I wanted to point this picture out. This photograph was taken by my friend and colleague that I am working on a book with, Nature and Color. And he took this picture of the owl, which I thought was absolutely fabulous, the inscrutable face of the owl. Look at the colors in the animal, and look at the wood that looks like they're both coming from earth, very natural colors, and so beautifully combined together. Here are more animal themes. They are, again, continuing on. How could you not love the picture of the baby elephant with the mother? You know, as a speaker, you know that if you show puppies, kittens, babies, and little baby elephants, the audience will love it. Animals and bird themes are pervasive in interiors. They remind us that we share the earth with other creatures, both wild and domesticated. Aw, I like that aw. These are the pets that we care for, nurture, and make a home for. And I don't have to tell anybody here how that market is so proliferating. Pretty fantastic. But look at the colors here that are used for the pets. Absolutely beautiful opportunity to bring color into the home. Now, we talk a lot about AI, and so here I'm showing you an AI-generated image that are bringing some new and unique perspectives, blurring the lines between digital and physical design. And this I had to show you because when we talk about technology, we have to realize that technology has been here forever. There's always new technologies. But the one on the left really got my attention. Cook and wash on your refrigerator. I don't think it lasted in the marketplace very long because somebody was probably electrocuted by having the sink and the stove right next to each other, right? But what I loved most about it was the strapless dresses and the aprons and the high heels that the ladies, don't you always wear that in the kitchen, ladies? And of course, the other one was ways to please a lady. She's gonna be in love if you give her a toaster. But of course, what we have to look at this toaster as well is that really looks quite modern, doesn't it? Again, a repetition of what we have seen in the past, but updated. Now, as far as technology is concerned, from the electronics show, which always is an indicator of what we're going to be seeing and what we're seeing now, technology to transform the everyday for everyone. One of the goals shown by various brands at that show was to assuage anxiety about AI and high tech. And I think they did a pretty good job of doing it. BMW had this big sign on the side of a wall, "Tech has no soul," or does it? Home security is always, of course, top of mind, and that was a big deal at the electronics show. And I think I might have skipped one. Yes, I did. High tech meets high comfort. It's all about persuading your customer and your client that if you are using higher technology and AI, there is a good side that's attached to it as well. High tech meets high comfort. That need to be able to relax in a welcoming home. This AI-equipped spa bed available for the home uses health metrics to manage, predict, and prevent health issues with heat and massage capabilities. This is actually in the marketplace already. Smart earbuds improve sleep quality and well-being by anticipating needs and adjusting noise levels according to the user's brainwaves. Now, years ago, we would have thought, is that even possible to do? And these things are being created and will be sold. So this is a message we can all relate to. Sometimes you just need a little peace and quiet. And so that brings me to the next slide. See what I said about babies? Aw. It takes us to the most directional colors and designs for kids. And even though we know pastels, especially in the younger years, are important, they're simply not as sugar-coated as they've been before. I want you to note that this is an LED cloud light in a child's room, contrasting with the airplane, which is a bed, by the way. So we see, again, a more sophisticated approach when it comes to children's colors. There is still brightness, but the combinations are definitely a bit more grown up than we've seen before. Still playful, but artful. And here are more examples of what we're seeing for the kids' market. So we're seeing inclusions of neutral tones, especially in the brown family for children, which is kind of interesting in kids' furnishings. And that leads us right into the rationale for, guess what? Pantone's color of the year, Mocha Mousse. It can best be described as an evocative soft brown that transports our senses into thoughts of pleasure and deliciousness. It nurtures us with a suggestion of everyday pleasures. Now, you've probably heard me say this before, but if you can get a color to evoke an emotion that involves the senses, and you involve more than one sense, it really captures the human eye. Humans are very taken in by anything that not only stimulates their taste buds, but perhaps they can hear, they can see, or they can smell. And with a color like Mocha Mousse, obviously the taste is there. But the chocolate cookies baking in the oven, the scent, the look of the chocolate mousse, the whole idea of enlisting several senses with one color, and this led to our choice of Mocha Mousse. It's taking a moment to enjoy a thoughtful indulgence. It's a flavorful hue. It wraps us with a comforting and embracing warmth. And of course, we look to fashion as an indicator of the year in both women's fashion and in men's. The versatility of the brown family can take us from this updated, rustic, and organic look into a very elegant, high fashion look at the same time. And we're seeing it not only in fashion, but in interiors as well. It's a natural for such fabrications as toweling, in the velour blanket, and in these spoonflower fabrics that you see in the center, and other areas in the home category. So it's a color that has a great variety of usages. And I will tell you, and I'm going to make a point of this in the future too, for the future, brown is not going away. Mocha Mousse may end at the end of the year, but the color and the brown family is definitely lingering in many variations, and I'll show you some of those variations as we go forward. We're seeing other related products that also speak to that harmony in the home and well-being used for these particular purposes. And as a background for retail, for those of you who are in retail, it's a great color for display purposes because it doesn't compete with the merchandise. And I thought this was really an excellent example of that. So, whether on the roadway or on the runway, the brown family will weigh heavily into 2026 and beyond. Now, I'd like to offer to you on Pantone's website that you can get a look at the upcoming fashion colors, because twice a year we do the fashion colors as they are coming down the runway for the next season. And Pantone mounts that on their site, and that's available for you to look at. Because, of course, fashion can be an indicator of what we're going to see going forward. Now, in the slide that you're seeing here, there are several slides, several images of Pantone browns that are included here, some to the red side, some to the green bronzy side. But we can see on the runway that the browns are a continuing influence. So, now that you've seen the variety of all that I've shown you and the reasons for them that are affecting future color and design, and you can appreciate the current consumer mindset, the mantra, do what you love, let's look at the most directional themes and palettes that can help inspire that love. There are 7 palettes that are featured in Pantone's Welcome Home. And again, I'm going to invite you to take a look at a closer look where you're going to see the bigger exhibits of what you're seeing here that will show you the colors and the designs and the great merchandise display that are put next to them. Okay, we're going to start out with the first one, which is called Out of the Ordinary. Out of the Ordinary. Now, why is it out of the ordinary? Well, it's got some of the neutral colors in it that we're familiar with. But what we have to think about, and I've made this point before, something called homeostasis, which means a balance within the interior. And if you can bring some balance of warmth and coolness into the atmosphere, it helps to regulate the temperature of the person living within that environment. So if we look at the colors that are available here, we see that wonderful, as our eye slides down, the orange touch at the bottom, a slightly muted touch, it's not a bright orange, to brighten up, to highlight some of the other neutrals that are in here, a very soft yellow, some of our other neutral shades, but most importantly, there is a balance in undertone with some warmth and some coolness to give us that sense of equilibrium in the environment. The next palette is called Ancestral. And this refers to the caves, the early dwellings, raw, earthy warmth, the wabi-sabi idea that I was talking about, something that reminds us of our human heritage. It talks to nature's imperfections and embracing some of those imperfections. And so the colors that you see here, again, we see largely warm colors, and some cooler at the bottom in a neutral gray, but it's that white that really is so interesting. Using some of those brown earthy tones with a white tone next to it. So rather than the black and white, which of course is always possible in the marketplace, thinking in terms of your browns, your earthy tones, and your white is definitely a direction for the future. The modern West that I mentioned before. Western classic meets modern style, cowboy, cowgirl, couture. And these are not, again, influences that are felt just here in this country. But if we think about cowboy couture in other countries as well, think of Argentina, think of Australia. I even have an image that I show to my classes of Czechoslovakian cowboys that look every bit like Americans. So you see this Western influence really is pervasive, not only in this country. The modern West, of course, we have to have some turquoise in that. We know that that is going to be a presence because it is so present in some of the indigenous designs that we see. But in addition to that, we are seeing, as our eye slides down here, again, some warmth at the top, some of that brown tone in this, the turquoise, the teal, and the green tone at the bottom. Now, if you've heard me say this before, you're probably getting sick of hearing me say it, but I will mention to you that in color parlance, green is a neutral color. If you think in terms of nature and you think in terms of looking at all the colors that are out in nature, would you ever say, oh, the red tulips don't make it against the green leaves? You know, the daffodils with green, awful combination. The purple crocus and green, what kind of a combination is that? It's gorgeous, right? So if we use Mother Nature as our inspiration, we can see, and this is something to use for your clients and your customers, if you do have something that's green, and they might be a little doubtful or not sure, but they say to you, I'm so sick of using the neutrals, that's a direction to go in. So interjecting a little green into that palette certainly helps it. Augmented. This is a palette that speaks to surreal and abstract design aesthetics. It's inspired by AI. It's immersive experiences at home. And it is digital experiences as well. And this is represented by the vibrancy of the color. These colors are absolutely beautiful together. They're combinations of the reds, the pinks into the orange, and the yellows. And as you go down the slide of the colors, you can see there is some blue and some gray that helps to balance the brightness that is in the palette as well. So that one is called Augmented. And then we have the Rustic Revival. This too is all about sustainability, blending industrial design with a softer outdoor cabin feel, transforming waste into functional home elements. And we know that is a big deal today to the consumer. Rustic Revival, the colors that we see, again, there are a couple of surprises here. The color that is third from the bottom is kind of a slightly grapey tone. This is not a color that you ordinarily think of in terms of the neutrals. So you do get kind of a dirtied effect. That's never a word that we use with our clients and customers. We never say it's a dirty color. Bad thing to say. But you say it's a bit muted. It's subtle. That's a much better way of stating it. And that's exactly what we've done with Rustic Revival. We've taken them down a notch. We've added a little bit of sienna to it or a little bit of gray if we were actually mixing it in a paint. And this is the outcome for that palette. Exotic Retreat, what can I tell you about this as you don't already know? If we're going into the tropics, of course, we're going to have some vibrant colors. And again, look at the combinations that are here. A beautiful balance of your cools and your warms, beautiful purples that are included, the fuchsias, combined with the browns. Again, a very interesting way to go with color. This last of the palettes is called Futura, and this is the acknowledgement that we do have high tech and we do have people who are minimalists and want to live in that kind of environment. But now what we're offering them is minimalism with some nuanced colors in it. It's not going to be so stark that the environment is cold. We never want to have our homes described as, it's a lovely house, but it's very cold, isn't it? That's not a compliment. So instead, we add nuances of color to add a bit of warmth. And here you're seeing, as your eye slides down, there are neutral shades, but there are little nuances and undertones. Cosmic inspiration, celestial motifs, galactic influences, a futuristic home that blends sophistication and glamour. And for some consumers, that's what they want. Okay, so we've come to the last of the images, which shows you what our display looks like here. I hope if you haven't had a chance to visit it, you will definitely come by and talk to the nice people at Pantone. And again, you're going to be able to see up close and personal some of the bigger displays and the colors and the merchandise that goes with it. Thank you so much for your kind attention today.
And let me thank you again, Lee, for helping color our world. Everyone, have a colorful day. We'll see you later on. Yes. Thank you. Bye-bye.